So back when I was in elementary school, I had a teacher named Mrs. Martindale. And Mrs. Martindale was one of those unforgettable teachers. I have a feeling some of you folks in this room are probably unforgettable or are unforgettable teachers as well. But she helped us to look at the more complicated side of history. We looked at things from other people's perspectives and not just our own. And she even taught us stress-relieving techniques. This was back in elementary school, and I'm actually really grateful for those tools even today. And she encouraged us to give free rein to our creativity, not just when we made art, but when it came to life itself. So to illustrate this point, I remember her telling us a story about her teenage son. So at one point, they would rotate household chores in their home, and at one point, it became his job to mop the kitchen floor. Now, he was a typical teenage boy and wasn't particularly excited about this chore, and he did it one week with great reluctance and lots of verbal protest. But his mother was firm. The chores were divided up in that household, and for the moment, this was one of his chores. So the next week rolled around when he was supposed to mop the kitchen floor, and when that time came around, Mrs. Martindale was a bit suspicious because her son didn't offer any protest. And this was a kid that you should know would read a lot of science fiction books. He was always looking, as he had been taught by his parents, at things in new ways. So she was a bit suspicious, but she wondered what was going on, and she heard some music downstairs, and she thought, well, I'll just creep down and see what's happening in the kitchen. And there she found him in the kitchen. He was dressed in his scuba outfit with his flippers on his feet that he had attached with Velcro straps, sponges. And he had two shallow trays of water, and he would squirt the cleaner on the floor, and then he would sort of shimmy along with those sponges, gyrating to the music. So she took in the sight of him ostensibly cleaning the floor there. And her first thought was, I need to stop him. This is ridiculous. But even though it looked more like a mess than housekeeping, she had to stop herself and smile at his ingenuity. Here he was cleaning the floor and doing it in a completely creative way, and he was actually having fun in the process. And so she let him be. I'm not sure how clean that floor actually got, but it was cleaner than it had been when he started. So that was her message that I've never forgotten to her students, that creativity wasn't just about, as Emily said, just about art projects and painting and poetry. Those things are important for sure. But creativity could actually solve real problems, and in ways that were not just less painful than the old ways, but could actually generate and create joy. So that teenage boy obviously wasn't bothered by that critical voice that so often stops us from being creative, as Reverend John Alu Johnson talks about. He says, "These inner critics do not emerge just when we are painting or writing or composing. They infect the rest of our lives, when we're problem-solving or making dinner or working on or playing. They nix our ideas all the time, stymieing our efforts to be our real selves, our creative selves." Reverend Janet Parsons appreciates when a teenage boy or a person like you or me figures out a more generative, joyful way to clean the kitchen floor. What can separate us from a life of creativity isn't a lack of talent, whether we see ourselves or others see us as talented. No. What can separate us from a life of creativity is our response to the invitation, to the call. Do we say yes when we feel something inspiring us? Do we even notice? Do we walk through the door that opens, or do we say no, or I can't? Often I've noticed in life there are two camps of people. There are those that get called creative and those who don't. The creative ones are the ones that do traditionally creative things like drawing or painting, sculpting, making things, writing music, writing stories. And the ones who aren't creative are the ones who don't maybe outwardly do those things, and they often end up with a self-diagnosed mantra of, oh, I wish I were creative. Anybody in this room ever said that? I wish I had some creativity. Too bad that this happens, because as we're saying this morning, real creativity isn't about having a natural knack for something artistic. It's actually about how adventurous, how innovative in ideas, how willing we are to jump into the unknown that really matters. Are we ruled by fear, or are we willing to try things? Like an artist, can we actually see new ways to be in the world and engage with each other? I mean, look at what's happening this week alone. An executive order was issued to cut funding for NPR and PBS. You read about that? Harvard's tax-exempt status is under threat. Democrat members were removed from the board of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, and progressive Christian clergy and others were arrested for praying at the Capitol Rotunda in Washington. Just praying. Look, I'm not naive. I understand the politics at play with what's happening here. But I'm also noticing the attack on visionary institutions and individuals, from educators to clergy, people who prioritize creative thinking. And if you think about it, what greater fear does an authoritarian have than those who are creative, who are thinking outside the box? Creativity offers alternatives to what is dictated. New ideas, new things, new possibilities, anything that challenges established order is considered a threat. And that makes people, whether they're Harvard educators or NPR reporters or Smithsonian curators, dangerous to the powers that be. So let's move this discussion off the kitchen floor and out of the rotunda and talk about what role creativity plays in the religious impulse itself. Have you ever heard of the Harvard theologian Gordon Kaufman? I know one person would nod for sure in the back there. So this theologian opened up the concept of God in ways that even a confirmed atheist might find intriguing, whether that person adopts these ideas or not. He found the idea of a creator God as a seed for the idea that God was to be found in the act of creation itself. So in Kaufman's understanding, a useful idea of God in modern life was as a symbol of creativity, and the creativity possible in this world. In short, God is creativity, as opposed to maybe ideas about a man in the sky. God is the act of creativity, all stemming from the Big Bang and then the little acts of creation that we do in our daily lives. And other folks are on board with these ideas. Critic Wesley J. Wildman talks about Kaufman's notion of God as creativity, and he says, it answers the question of what theology would look like if it were entirely this worldly, with no traces of mythology or supernaturalism. So as a naturalist, Kaufman rejects the supernatural elements of traditional religious understanding. He's informed by the natural and social sciences, and he sees human beings as the creative fruit of serendipitous creativity itself. And he says the big question is whether we can exercise our creative powers to continue the human project, enhancing the parts we prize, controlling our violence, and shunning our terrible ability to destroy the world. very relevant right now, too, even though he wrote that at least 50 years ago. Modern theologians invite us to return to the very human impulse to create an idea of God. This is an impulse that's been shared across cultures and centuries. Liberal theologians might, again, reject those notions of God as an old man in the sky, but they instead find power in a more metaphorical concept of God. God as love, or God as community, or God as conscience, or God as working for justice. But Unitarian Universalist theologians like Henry Nelson Wyman agree that the idea of God as creativity might work best if we're looking for an expansive metaphorical notion of God. It might work best because if we don't have love, we don't have community, we don't work for justice if we are not creative. And again, we're seeing that in this moment. We have to have creative solutions in our world today in order to make it the place that we envision it to be. And we exercise our creativity in countless ways every day, big and small, when we make decisions of what to wear, what to eat, what to say, what to do, how we're going to clean the kitchen floor. Creativity, it's open to us constantly. Elizabeth Gilbert says, "The universe buries strange jewels deep within us all, and then stands back to see if we can find them." I love that idea. She says, "The hunt to discover those jewels, that's creative living." Think about that. These buried jewels in each one of us, they're there. No matter who we are, we have these hidden treasures that allow us to generate what is new in our world. We're always becoming. Every moment is a one that is marked by creativity. In these last few seconds, you and I have co-created a moment. It wasn't there before, it's gone now, but it was there. And now another one is emerging. And this is what life is, with all its possibility. Just think about it. That's happening one way or the other, right? We're making these decisions. We're tapping into our creativity. The buried jewels are there. These moments are going by that we're co-creating. What does it mean when we actually intentionally pay attention to that? When we actually mine ourselves for those buried jewels so that we can really allow all possibilities to come forward? When life becomes an artful creation and not just a scrabbling to get by or get through, I think when that happens, things start feeling more meaningful. We start noticing the richness of life, even when it's challenging. Life can even feel holy and sacred when we do this. You know, I never forgot that story about Mrs. Martindale and her son. And it was a few years later that my mother worked at the same school. So I'd been gone from there a few years. I think I was a freshman in high school at this point. And my mom brought home a big brown grocery sack full of books. And I said, "Where are these from?" And she said, "Well, Mrs. Martindale sent them. Her son has gone off to college and he cleaned out his room. And so she thought you might want to have these books." And there they were, this bag of books. It was, 2001 was in there, and Planet of the Apes and The Handmaid's Tale and Kindred and all these historical novels. And I just spent that summer devouring all of these books that were about kind of reckoning with where we come from, and then really expanding ourselves to think about where we might go. And I think she and those books and just all of those experiences helped me to uncover a few of those gemstones that we all have within us, those buried jewels. Here in this community, we can inspire this creativity in one another. When we are frightened, hurt, wounded, broken, we have good reason in these times to feel that way. It is so meaningful to come together and remind ourselves that our lives and choices have value, that our lives are reflected of the generous forces of creativity, wherever it comes from, whether it's from us within, whether it's divinely bestowed, or whether it's just a product of a whole bunch of things. However you want to look at it is fine. But this is a reminder today that the creation of art is not just reserved for those mediums which we have traditionally called art. It is for the art with which it takes to live a life that is compassionate, that is navigated with some authenticity and grace, which takes risks, which offers something new, however small, to our hurting world. Because even something small that is new, that is reflective of those unique jewels buried within us, whether it's a small kindness, small discovery, small act of compassion or care, it contributes to the larger piece of art we are creating as the human species. And we want that piece of art, that great painting across the cosmos that we are all putting our brushstrokes on, to be the one that is ultimately a masterpiece, shining with the jewels that are the best of humanity's creativity. Let us make it so. We have everything we need within us.